would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, my name is Jinte, and I play in a band called Balthazar.
And I'm Martin, and I play in that same band.
So let's see, we've got fourth album. You took 4 years off. This, you've got two frontmen. I'm with them. You're from Belgium. It's well written that you toured nonstop for 6 years, that you got tired of the cycle. This is all kind of out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about touring. It is about the way that the business that we're in, it's the rock and roll business these days. When you were starting out, did you feel like as musicians you were going to have to take on all the business things that you have to take on these days that does burn you out?
Well, no, we didn't know, but we were so young when we started out. The thing is, when we took a break, because, you know, it's like you said, we toured for 6 years nonstop, but then we actually did some solo projects, which was actually just the same business in a way. So
you think, okay, well, we'll take a break and we'll do solo records, but you didn't really get out of the cycle, did
you? Actually, I don't think we were bored of the business. I think we just played so much with the band and with the same show that we got tired of that. Like, it felt very unspontaneous after a while, and I think it wasn't like the making music videos or interviews or all that kind of stuff that comes along with the business, but it was more I think just we needed some creative oxygen, and I think that's that we did. Although our lives looked pretty the same, it felt a bit different, which was what we needed back then.
When did you know, like, what point in doing the solo thing did you know that we were going to be sitting here, not us in particular, but that you were going to be coming back as a band?
No, actually, we knew that beforehand. I mean, we really
see,
wanted
this is painted differently by most of the press. Most of the press,
but most of the people don't believe us when we said we just want to take a break, do some solo projects, and then we come back and have some new creative oxygen because of the solo projects or something. You know, take the band a step further, which would feel like more of a surprise to us musically. Then if we would have continued, it would have been dangerous, and in the sense that it would have been a bit predictable.
During the solo projects, or like before coming back, what was the discussion about what was next? Did you actually sit down and say, you know, we're not going to produce ourselves, we're not going to have a proper English producer, we're going to bring somebody else? How much of this was precipitated in any way, shape, or form before you actually started in on the new record?
It was, I called Martin, or I saw him in a bar, and I said, like, are you free on Wednesday? He's like, yeah, that's okay. And how are we going to do it? Yeah, maybe Jasper. He's a good friend of ours who did a lot in the solo projects as well, and he produced our album. It was really easy in a way.
So one of the things everybody talks about is, you know, you're leaving the indie rock comfort zone for this new record. What is, right? So my question is, number one, what is the indie rock comfort zone that seems to keep coming up again? I don't even know what indie rock is these days.
It's like a journalist term. It's like we are the last ones who talk about music that way.
I don't think we ever said that.
No, I know, but it's in a lot of, it's out there. There's actually a quote that your band left the indie rock comfort zone. You don't even know you left the indie rock comfort zone.
No.
That's cool with the biographies and everything. It's like journalists who make it. So we.
Yeah. But I'm sitting here with you and you don't even know you left the comfort zone.
I don't.
obviously we did evolve in a way.
Well, of course.
But I don't think we... I mean, what's different... I think this is a way more what we embraced on this, our latest album, is like a way more a lighter feel to our. I think our previous records were way more melancholic and darker in a way, and we always thought, like, if you want to make good music, it needs to be sad or something, or you know. And
you blew it on this album, because it's not all dark. There's some.
No, yeah,
we'll get to some dark. There's dark, but
like. One influence was Talking Heads, and our record doesn't sound anything like it, but like they, in a way, they showed us that you can make groovy, light-hearted music without.
Well, life during wartime is like the happiest, darkest song in the world, right?
Yeah, yeah. But that, I mean, it took us 30 years for lives to.
I I think we realized that was too serious when we were younger.
Had you had other people involved in your writing before, or was this new in terms of the level of involvement?
Well, he didn't write alone. Actually, he just produced the record. I mean, it's always Jinta and me who write the songs, and then, but he's, I mean, he's just the right guy to have the sound we have in our minds to you know, to make it, to realize it.
So when you approached him and you said, okay, we're making this record, these are the songs, what did you initially bring him?
Well, we always make a bunch of, like, a library of demos and ideas.
And how realized are they? How far along are they?
I mean, they go from proper songs to very just crazy arrangement ideas. They're like, everything is loud. The thing is that we didn't really know which direction we were going to take with this album. Coming from, you know, making three albums already, coming from solo projects, it's like it's like a new beginning. So it was kind of important, but we didn't know exactly what sound or you know, direction we were going to take. And the first demos went from proper 40 to floor electro stuff to very 60s music. So I think in the beginning he was like, ooh.
Like, what do I do with this?
Yeah, but I think that's when we went, you know, like musicians do, they go to a house in the Ardennes in Belgium, you know, in the woods.
Oh, you did that thing.
Yeah, to discuss for a week and drink some beers. And
meditate.
Yeah. And that's when, I mean, we just tried some stuff out nonstop. And I think it was when we made Fever that we were kind of surprised about what we could do with Balthazar. Because it was still very Balthazar-esque, but it was something new as well.
And so you've done some weird things. I mean, it's been talked about, the techno beats, the soundscapes, the African percussion. But I won't even get to the synthesizers. You didn't just use the synthesizers, but you slow them up and down, and you mess with sounds a lot. So how much of that did you bring in, and how did you know that was going to, all of these weird things were going to become the bedrock of the record that were never there before?
I think in the beginning you work in all kinds of directions, and you don't have any, we didn't have any concept in our minds like which we were working towards. But then I think Fever, the track Fever, the opening track of the album, was like the first track that you finish and that you feel like, okay, this is something fresh and something we never done before, and isn't like super comparable to anything else. And that was like this, you know, this moment, like aha moment, or like, okay, we got a direction for the album. And then you just adjust all the other demos and ideas and just like to that track a bit, you know, like where once you have like the idea of having found a sound,
especially arrangement and such. The thing was with synthesizers, we use a lot of acoustic instruments, but then we have songs which were written in a very you know, on a computer, on a laptop and such. And I think with synthesizers it's very dangerous not to make them human again. So in a way, like it's mainly Jasper who went crazy with it and like the sounds and everything, just to make it, the whole thing, human again.
What was the filter? How did you know a song was going to fit on this record versus something that wasn't going to fit?
Well, I think we, you know, you write a bunch of songs, like you write, I don't know, 40 or 50, you know, and I think we just pick the 10 best songs.
Otherwise, you wouldn't put them on the album. Actually, in a way, when you only have 8 good songs and the rest, you know, you don't use them anymore, you just keep writing and until you have an album.
So one of the things you've said in another conversation is that you have a fetish for minimalism. And I read that and then was listening to the record and realized that you must have made some hard decisions because you had all these toys to play with. And did you pile up a lot of toys and then kind of pull them back to get to where it landed up?
Well, I think, the story of our minimalism fetish starts with the first album. So this is the fourth album, and it is way more richly arranged than the first album, for example, which there we were still very young and making the hard decisions. And now I think you get more experienced with it.
for example, like the bass lines are super melodic, and in that sense, you don't need a lot of extra instruments to give the chord information or something. And I think if a song with a, you get more dynamics with the minimal arrangement. So in a way, it's like something we got experienced at, I think.
But it's not all light. We've all been through breakups, and if you're going to approach a breakup, you're going to approach a breakup through the entire level of reality, aren't you?
But the thing is, during a breakup, I think that's the difference with when you're younger. At least lyric-wise, you just realize that for a breakup, for example, you have many phases, and it's cool to just pick one phase and over-exaggerate in it. Because music is supposed to, I mean, that's what music is for.
It's entertainment.
It's entertainment, but it's also like for yourself. Like it's
well, cathartic. I mean, look, what musician or what anybody that does what we do for a living doesn't use our career for being cathartic, for getting it out there, mm-hmm. whether the audience wants it or not, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and that's the only, when it comes across like that, when you like it the most, those are the best songs. If you only think about your audience or entertainment, it's not a good song most of the time.
So where did you get hooks and melody? Where did you actually learn that and get comfortable with it?
Good question. I mean, I guess we're both Beatles fans, so that's an
explanation. That helps.
That helps.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I think we're big fans of like the 60s and just songwriting. And we're still pretty old school in it. When you think about all the possibilities nowadays with you know, arrangements or computers or whatever, we're still very old school in that sense. So in a way, if we're talking about an indie rock band with old school songwriting, that's something we have, I think. And I don't know, it's just what appeals most to us, so that's what you try to make.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then you pick songs in between